excited. I always get excited when it comes to being at COBA. COBA is homecoming. COBA is home. COBA is it's like the highlight of the year. It's better than Christmas, amen. It's better than Christmas. I had a couple of people I want to introduce tonight. First of all, most of you know her, but I like to put the spotlight on her. That's my wife, Patricia. Why don't you stand and praise the Lord for putting us together. Pat and I met here at Crossroads Baptist Church, the platform I'm standing on. We were married some, it'll be 25 years come next March, March the 5th. And so we're going to celebrate 25 years in a special way. Pastor, I'll talk to you about that a little bit later on in the week. But I certainly praise the Lord for God putting us together. She, if it were not for her, I would not be who I am today. And no question about it. And I thank God for putting us together. She is the best will of God for my life. And I love her and thank God for her and praise the Lord for her as well. And then I noticed someone in the back, that one of the two ladies that led me to the Lord, Cynthia Robinson. Cynthia, why don't you stand? We're going to just kind of... And she's one of them shy folks. Shy folk lead shy folk to the Lord. And we're going to just... Certainly praise the Lord for her and Mrs. Ella Lattimore. They, back April 27, 1988, on a Thursday night, Bill Cosby was on television, and they opened the Bible and showed me how to get saved. I'll never forget that night, and I thank God for it. Thank God for her. I love my church. Harbor Baptist Church, won't you go ahead and stand up? Thank God. God put us together. God put us together. God put us together. Just to give a little background on that, I was when we were in California, I was praying. God had started to burden my heart about the next church plant, and I couldn't get Charlotte off of my mind. And one day, Pastor called me. He said, "You know, Kenny, I know you got work going on there in California, but there's a church in Charlotte, North Carolina that needs an experienced pastor. You ought to think about or pray about going." I said, "Pastor, I've been praying for Charlotte for about a year." You can't beat what God wants to do. And you can't beat where God wants you to be. Amen. Praise the Lord for his perfect will. His perfect will. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I'm going to try to get this done next by 8:25. I'm looking forward to Dr. Michael Baldwin. I'm looking forward to hearing him preach. He's going to preach on the subject. I got a lot of them in our church, so I'm going to learn some things, and I'm looking forward to that. Thank you, Dr. Patterson. That was a fantastic message on Sunday morning. Man, that was good. That was good preaching. If you weren't here, be sure to get the recording of that. I almost gave away my age and said, "Get the tape, get the recording of that." And yeah, you'll enjoy that. You'll listen to that several times. And then Dr. Clayton on Sunday night. Man, it was good. Oh, it's good stuff. You know, you ever walked in the meeting, you felt like you'd have missed it already. And it's supposed to be the first night. That's the way some of y'all might feel. I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm just saying. If you can be here all week, be here all week. It's gonna be great. It's gonna be great. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and then the breakfast we had this morning. Man, we had us a good breakfast. Bacon and sausage and eggs and hashed potatoes and what was it? Grits. You know, I never had grits before till I came across those bachelors. I grew up in a small town called Elliston, Virginia, but I never had grits till I came across those bachelors. Anyway, I just came to mind. If I keep this up, I'm going to run out of preaching time. But I keep thinking about those prayer breakfasts we had. Brother Clinton, Brother Robert, Brother Ted, several other guys. We'd come for prayer meetings, and we'd pray. One of the men would preach, and then we'd pray around a circle, and pastor would close us out. Then we'd go in the kitchen and drink coffee and talk. And man, that was school for us. You know, pastor just talking, and we just listen to you, pastor. You can learn a lot from your pastor. Just sitting down having a conversation with your pastor, you can learn a lot from your pastor. When you get too big for your pastor, you just too big. You ain't never going to know more than your pastor. What I'm saying is, while you trying to get experience, he's already got experience. And while he's looking back on his years, you're looking forward to the years he's been. He's looking with a better view now than he had then. So he always has something to tell. I feel like preaching. He always got something to tell you. Always listen to your preacher. Thank God for you. Till he goes to heaven, listen to your preacher. Amen. That's not what I'm preaching on tonight. My topic is the faith of our fathers in evaluating our foundational beliefs. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 13. We there together? 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men. Be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. And Father in heaven, again, we're thankful tonight for the privilege we have to be in the house of God. Thank you, dear Lord, for this COBA conference. Thank you for the 25 years that we're celebrating what you're doing, not only in the black community, but all across the world. Thank you for the men that you've raised up and the women and the people who have put their hearts and their hands to the plow to do a job for you in this present hour till Jesus comes back. And Father, tonight as we look at some things and be reminded of some things and be charged about some things, I pray, Father, that our fervency would be greater, that revival can still come, that you'd help us, Lord, tonight to be able to go back to our respective cities and do the job you've called us to do. Use me as your preacher. Empty me of self, sin, anything that will hinder the preaching of thy word. We'll be careful to give you the glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. Paul the Apostle says, stand fast in the faith. Stand fast in the faith. These parting words in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 are Paul's war cry, if you will, to be spiritually valiant. It's a call to arms, regardless of age or gender, for every blood-washed believer. I say age or gender, for it is such a manly call. Stand fast in the faith. Standing fast in the faith is more than believing the body of doctrine once delivered to the saints. Standing fast is the active practice of that faith no matter what. Standing fast in the faith is saying, I'm going to do the word of God. I'm going to do the will of God. I'm not just believing that the word of God says what it says. I'm practicing it. It is a part. It is the very essence of my life. Standing against the devil and the world for your family, your church, it's not for the spiritually weak. Planting churches and pastoring people and parenting children and being in a marriage and serving God in general is not for the lacks of heart. Staying faithful to the purity of mind and body. Staying true to standards and requirements of leadership and commitments to Scripture in a world that is as wicked as Corinth was is not for quitters. Mentoring men and women and boys and girls is rewarding. Being disappointed in what people do. Spiritually dealing with carnality and drama and issues is not for sissies. Paul issues a call to battle, a cry to be militant in the things that count. Stand fast in the faith. COBA is successful for all these years because of the faithfulness, number one, of a good God. Faithful to a people who are faithful to his way and his word. The word of God is our final authority for faith and practice. The great commission to reach all people in all places is our call of duty. Being holy as God conforms us to the image of his son is to be our way of life. Being in submission to the will of God in complete surrender is our path to victory. Our commitment to these truths must be adhered to valiantly. We're to persevere. We're to stand fast. Stand fast in the faith. Five quick imperatives I want to give you from the text to bolster our resolve to do what we have been left here to do. Stand fast, to be positioned, to take on attacks. We must first be vigilant. Be vigilant. Paul the Apostle says here in verse number 13, watch ye. Watch ye. That word watching means to be on your guard. Be on your guard. I asked somebody to tell me, because you know how I like to, I don't like to call people's names, but I call out their initials. And I tell you, you ought not watch them on television. You ought not listen to that kind of preaching. You ought not, you ought not be bothered with that kind of foolishness. And somebody kind of pulled me to the side and said, Pastor, you ought to be more loving than that. You ought not, if you didn't call out them initials like you did, more people would come and fill up the church. I said, oh, okay. I'm supposed to just let them say what they want to say and not tend the flock. I'm just supposed to let them just preach what they want to preach and have my people listen to it and not tell them how wrong it is. I'm just supposed to let the wolf dine for whatever. Amen. No, that's not going to happen. Tend the flock. Watch out for the saints. Friend, we need to watch out for our families. We need to watch out for us. Well, there's so much foolishness out here in the world. There's so much foolishness trying to get the minds of our children. So much foolishness trying to grab hold of our families. We've got to stand up. Man, I'm talking about you now, men. We need to stand for our families. We need to watch over our wives and watch over our children and watch over our teenagers. We need to have eyes. We need to be on guard. Listen, you can't just sit there lackadaisical and say, boy, I sure hope my youth pastor can raise my kid right. Your youth pastor is not supposed to raise your kid. You're supposed to raise your child. I sure hope that Christian school teacher can really put something in his heart. No, you put something in his heart. Your child was not given to your Christian school. Your child was not put in the hands of your youth pastor. They're there to help you. Your child was put in your hands for you to raise him. You got to guard him. You got to watch. You got to stand. You got to look at that and say, wait a minute. I can't have my child watching this. I can't have my child listening to this foolishness. My child not going to sag. And look, you can sag and not sag. What does that mean? That's like quitting without quitting. Because people quit long before they quit. And young people sag long before they sag. Because when they do sag, it looks all natural. Because it's in the heart to be that way. When I say sag, I'm talking in general. I'm not talking about a cultural thing. I'm talking about rebellion. You got to watch. You got to stand. You got to look over your family and realize, God, hey, I know y'all back here. God gave that family to you. God blessed you with that family. God put that family in your hands. He blessed you. He loaned you those children. Fellas, God bless you with that beautiful gift called the wife. Come on. I'll get on that one in a little bit later if I get there. That's a gift. You lead a ministry, God bless you with that ministry. You in the bus ministry, you need to watch over that bus ministry. You need to pastor that bus ministry. That bus route. You a Sunday school teacher, you need to be watching that class. That's not something where you just put a 30-minute message in that you got ready on Saturday night and said, well, at least I put my time in. That's some people you invest in. You need to watch. Watch ye, guard, stand. And then he goes on to say, stand fast. Stand fast. In other words, be faithful. Here's the meaning of stand fast. Keep in rank. Be not disorderly. Keep together. Hold the line. Well, this is a battle we're talking about here. This is a fight. We're in a spiritual warfare. We need to have the mindset that I'm not just here coasting through life. I've got a good God that's with me, but at the same time, I got people watching me, and I've got to stand for the things of God. Stand fast in the faith. Stand fast in the faith. McClarkin put it like this. In this scripture, faith means not the body of truths that we believe, but the act of believing them. This further command tells us that in addition to our watchfulness and as the basis of our steadfastness, confidence in the revelation of God in Jesus Christ will enable us to keep our feet whatever comes against us and to hold our ground whoever may assault us. But when I'm standing fast, I'm in a position where I'm ready to fight. I'm standing in a position where... Stand up for a minute. You know, I love, don't turn around. Just stay this way. I love the Lord, don't you? So you're trying to catch a glimpse of some single lady, aren't you? Like you ain't trying. You chilling. You watching. See, if you've been watching, you would have stood fast, but you weren't watching. I pushed out. I'm a 54-year-old man. I pushed that kid down. He's the tallest guy in the room. See, the devil don't. It don't take a whole lot for the devil to push you down when you're not watching. When you're not watching, you gotta stand, friend. You gotta stay. You can't do nothing. Let's go right now. Let's go. I was nervous till after that. I'm good now. Amen. Amen. When the foe comes against you, stand fast. Don't tuck and run. Don't drop the flag. Don't quit. Don't cower. Stand fast. Stand fast for the things of God. Thirdly, the third imperative is to be mature. Be mature. Let's look at this again. Verse 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. He says, quit ye like men. I put that in there so we can get everybody in it. But really what he's saying is man up. Man up. Phrase man up means maintain your ground, resist, and press forward. Strike home. That's what we need to do. We need to make things count. We only have but so much time to serve God in this present life. We only got so much time. I mentioned I'm 54 years old. Will I make 64? I pray so. But when I get to heaven, aren't you glad you can be in a church where you can say when? You got some fool talking about if I make it. I'm working hard to get there. Oh, Lord. I had somebody try to sing that one time. We had to sit down and have a theological discussion. Help us, Lord. Amen. How do we do it? Number one, we serve in unity. Look at Philippians chapter 1 very quickly. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 27. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Only let your conversation, your manner of living be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. In other words, let your life be worth the blood that bought you. Amen. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. We need to serve in unity. The whole time we talked about COVID, this is the founder has said it. We talked about COVID. We've always talked about it being a collective effort. As Pastor Mike, this is not the NAACP of fundamentalism. This is a collective effort. Everybody can get in on this. We talking about souls winning souls. We talking about getting the gospel out to every individual. Every time I say COVA conference, what's that stand for? Conference on Evangelizing Black. Oh, just blacks. Well, somebody needed to concentrate on blacks. Might as well be somebody black. That has the truth. But we've always talked about this being a collective thing. Collectively, we work together to reach a world, shoulder to shoulder, striving together. Remember when Joab went out to fight that battle? He told his little brother, you take that in, we'll take this in. If that crowd is too much for you, we'll come down and help you. If that crowd is too much for you, you come up and you come and help us. But we're going to play the man and let God do what seemeth him good. Friend, we need to have that kind of mindset. Let's play the man. Let God do what seemeth him good. If Houston needs some help, then let's go help Houston out. If Arkansas needs some help, let's go help Arkansas out. If Virginia needs some help, let's go help Virginia. If Hampton Roads needs some help, let's all pull together in this thing. We're trying to do the same thing. We're on the same team. We're trying to serve the same God. We're trying to reach a world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no competition here. There's no anger here. There's no, oh, you got 500, I only got 400, I'm mad at you. That's stupid. That's 900 people going to heaven. Praise the Lord. We're collective in this thing. We're together in this thing. Unity. Then we need to stand fast in adversity. Stand fast in adversity. Isaiah chapter 46. We don't have time to turn there. In Isaiah chapter 46, remember the children of Israel are in Babylon. They're in captivity. And the Lord said, remember this, show yourselves men. You know, they're living in a land of idolatry. And God is telling them, remember the Red Sea when I parted it. Remember when I sent Joshua across the Jordan River, parted it. Remember the great miracle. Remember the good God that you have. Put your mind on the things of God. Put your mind on the God of heaven. Show yourselves men and stand in adversity. We all going to go through difficulty. Show yourself men. If you faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Jeremiah, God told Jeremiah, if thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And in the land of peace wherein thou dwellest, they have wearied thee, then how wast thou doing the swelling of joy? What are you, if you're having a hard time now, what are you going to do when it really gets tough? We got to man up. Deal with it. Walk through it. Walk heavy with God, amen. Stand fast. Quit ye. Like me. Then he said, be strong. Now the third and the fourth imperative seem similar, but they are different in source. But Clarence said this, it is a waste of words in 9 cases out of 10 to say to a weak man, pluck up your courage and show strength. But the Apostle Paul uses a very uncommon word here for strength, at least uncommon in the New Testament. And another place where he uses it will throw light upon what he means. Strengthen with might by a spirit in the inner man. When God says be strong, when Paul says be strong, he's not talking about gustering up some manhood and being strong. He's talking about being strong in the Lord and the power of his might. He's talking about walking in the spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He's talking about when you're weak, then he is strong and he can work strong in you. I can't do anything without the Lord, but with him I can do everything. Be strong in him. Be strong in him. Then he finishes up. I'm almost done. He says, in everything, in all your things, is what he says. Let it be done with charity. You know, he puts that together. This guy's got this war cry. Watch ye, stand fast, quit ye like men, be strong. Let all your things be done in charity. Let all your things be done in love. Love is the motivator. If you're not in it for love, you're not in it for anything. Huh? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, if I speak in the tongues of men or angels and have not charity, I am a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. Let all your things be done in love. Let all your things be done. There's several things I want to talk about love and what we ought to. Number one, the love of God. We ought to love the Lord. We ought to love the Lord. You know what's going to keep you valiant in the fight? Loving God. You know what's going to keep you moving forward when you get disappointed? Loving God. You know what's going to keep you to where you're standing fast in the faith? Loving God. Preachers, these young preachers from Crown College, you know what's going to keep you in the ministry and not quit? Because good churches close every year. You know what's going to keep you? Love God. Love God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy strength. If you don't love God, you're not going to get anything done. People love other preachers. I got to do this because doctor who knows so-and-so is going to be disappointed if I don't. You better love God. I love my pastor. I wouldn't want to disappoint my pastor, but I need to love God more. Love God. Remember when Peter, that got kind of period of time when between the resurrection and the ascension, and the disciples were kind of by themselves for a little bit of downtime, I guess you'd call it. And Peter said, I go a fishing. And the Lord was on the bank, and they said, that's the Lord. And Peter was naked, and he covered himself, jumped out, flew, swam over by the Lord, and the Lord is sitting there. He's got a campfire with fish, grilled fish. Put a little lemon and butter across that thing. I'm getting hungry. Peter walks up there. He starts smelling the smoke. His nostrils fill in with that pungent smell of that fire and smoke. And he begins to think a few days back when he was cussing the Lord. Said, I don't know the man. Jesus looks at him and said, if you love me, do you love Peter? Lovest thou me more than these? Asked him 3 times. Peter said, like a friend, and finally like a brother. Then he finally, I love you unconditionally. Unconditionally. All 3 times, feed my sheep, feed my lamb, feed my sheep. He says, lovest thou me more than these? If you want to be fruitful as a Christian, you got to love God above everything else. Do you love him more than your profession? Do you love him more than your profession? You ever hear people say, well, I got to work. Can't be at choir practice, I got to work. Can't be at church on Sunday night, I got to work. Can't go soul winning, I got to work. You know, nobody knows your schedule but you, your employer, and God. And sometimes, if folk got real honest, when they sitting there looking at their employer, it's not that the employer says, I really need you to work this Sunday. It's you saying, well, I can use that time and a half.
Amen.
Did I mention God knows that too? Lovest thou me more than these? More than these. We're professing. Well, you're professing. Peter was a fisherman when God called him. Here he was just after the resurrection. It seems the greatest event you'd ever see, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I go a fishing. He going back to what he used to do. I go a fishing. He's looking at that fish. He's smelling that fire. What in the world am I doing? Lovest thou me more than these? How about your possessions? Your possessions. Man's life consists not in the things which he possesses. It's more important to give the world evangelization than it is to have 3 cars in your garage. Yeah, it is. Well, we act like we ain't made it unless we got a garage, 15 bedrooms and a big bath, pool in the backyard. Now I got it. I got it made. People going to hell all over the world. Lovest thou me more than these. More than these. I'm not preaching against having nice things. I'm not preaching against having nice. Some of y'all looking at me funny. I'm not preaching against having nice things. But you need to check your priorities, friend. You check your priorities. I love what Dr. Siskel would say every year. He said, all my bills collectively. What's that you? One of these great men of God. All my bills collectively, together, what I give to the work of God is greater than any single bill that I have in my house. You want to know somebody's priorities? Let me look at your checkbook. Let me see what you're giving to. Do you love the Lord? Lovest thou me more than these? More than these. How about this one? Do you love your spouse? Husbands, love your wife. I'm not forgetting y'all up there. I know y'all up there. Husbands, love your wives the way Christ loved the church. I'm not going to call her name because I'd embarrass her if she heard the recording or whatever. But we had a young lady stay in our house. Came in, she was about 17. Brother Ted, she was the biggest feminist at 17 I'd ever seen in my life. Lord, have seen him done a 180-degree turn married. You know what? She just got a chance to see something godly.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Way things supposed to be. Huh? Some families in the church that love God. God put her, give her a good husband. Loves the Lord. Doing tremendous. Trying not to look at her. I know I ain't right. I ain't never seen a feminist at that age. I'm 17-year-old feminist. But you know what makes a difference? Yeah, I was reading the article about the Southern Baptists, and you read the article about Southern Baptists, and they ordaining women and all kinds of things. Trying to keep up with the times. You know what would help? If God's men just treated the wife the way the Bible tells us to treat a woman. That's all. That would take the thunder out of any feminist. I'm going to tell you that right now. Yes, it would. Because if a woman, hey choir, if a woman can relax under the leadership of her loving husband. Seem like, what in the world do I want to be a feminist for? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Come on. Amen.
And the Bible says, wives, see that you reverence your husband. That word reverence means respect. Respect. You know, men and women need love, but men need respect. Need respect. A man shows love to his wife by time and affection and talking and talking. Talking. Going to the mall when you don't want to. Yeah. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But when a wife, the way she shows her husband that she loves him, is when she gets by him. When a man looks at his wife and says, you know what, I can take hell with a spit wad because of the way my wife cares and stands with me. Mm. Yeah. Man, it's good to have a good one. Whoo, it's good to have a good wife. Huh? I better watch that clock, Brother Mike. I better watch that clock, but I'm trying to get some brownie points right now. I got a Sunday school class, pastor's class. I gave up my pastor's class, and I started a couple's class. Amen. And we have a great time. Sometimes jaws get a little tight. But that's okay. That's okay. Because we journey in together, learning things. Learning how to have a good home. You got a good home, you have a good church. You got a good home. Y'all single, aren't you? Every last one of y'all said, y'all paying attention? Did you take notes? All right. I'm going to check you in a few years. Good homes are important. You ought to invest in your families. Invest in your family. Invest in your millennials. I'm not going to talk. That's his. Invest in your families. Because they're important. They're important. Husbands, love your wives the way Christ loved the church. Love, love. What's my third point? Yeah, love the Lord, love your spouse. Yeah, let's see, I done lost track. Love your neighbor. I will finish on this one. Remember when that Pharisee came out to the Lord and said, who is my neighbor? The Jews believed that other Jews were their neighbors. And if you were a Jew, you were my neighbor. The Lord told him about the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan tells us that the person in need is your neighbor. The lost soul is your neighbor. The person in need is your neighbor. Black America is your neighbor. James 2 tells me that I'm not to be a respecter of persons. Right? That I don't look at a person's complexion, currency, class. None of that. None of that ought to tell me how important or valuable. The Lord James says, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with respect to persons. In other words, don't hold the Shekinah glory of God in your heart. Don't be naming Jesus as your Savior and have a respect. I've never understood racism in Christianity. Have you? That just don't make any sense. We all made in the image of God. We're all made in the image of God. Now that image is marred because of sin. But when we get saved, we've been conformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now God has made all of us, every last one of us in that same image. It don't matter what color you are. Doesn't matter how much money you make. We're all made in that same image. So we should never, what's that word? Brother Kenny used the team strength. We don't put a ceiling on anybody. Oh, he's not going to do but so much because he comes from that side of the track. Hey, that's not for you to call.
That's right.
That's not your call.
Amen.
That's not your call. That's not love. It's not love to say somebody come on a bus ought to be in a B class. I know I said it last year, but I can't get over it. Yeah. I can't get over it. How are you going to expect a young boy or a young girl to grow up in the things of God in the B class, sucking on Kool-Aid, watching movies, and going home? They need to see those examples. They need to see examples of godly men and women. And if they don't have it at home, the little hour you got in church. And by the way, y'all be doing more than that. If you want to invest in somebody, take them to the park, spend some time with them. I appreciate Raphael, Stephanie, both Reese of the Bus Ministry. Reese of the Bus Ministry, the Harvard Baptist Church. Nicosia Terrell, Bus Ministry, Harvard Baptist Church. They take young boys and young girls, build relationships with mom and dad, have the kids spend the night at the house. Spend the afternoon after running the bus, leading the choir. They keep those kids, cook for them at church so they can be in the evening service.
Amen.
They get to watch a godly young family. And see, this is what a godly family is supposed to do. How a godly family is supposed to do. That's called, they're helping me. They're helping me. They're helping the work. They're helping these young people. They help mom and dad learn, hey, this is what I need to do. Well, we need to quit acting like people not capable because they come into church on the bus. Or they're not capable because of their complexion. Or they're not, you know, Crossroads is not a fluke. How'd I get on this? I'm going to tell you how. Because if you're watching and standing fast and quitting like men, what's the last point? And you're under God's power, you realize that God is for every person in every place. And he has an expectation of holiness and godliness and diligence and spirituality for every person regardless of complexion or class or currency. He's a good God. And if we believe in this body of beliefs, then we live it. And we believe that it can be lived in every person. That's what I'm trying to say tonight. And Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for being a great God. I thank you, Lord, for the word of God that you've given us and the expectations you have upon us and the power of your spirit that enables us to live this and not only live it, but to see it operate and work in the lives of other people. God in heaven, I pray that you'd help us to have a deeper burden, a stronger desire, a stronger heart for you, for the work, for the souls that need to be saved, and for the people that need to be trained in the things of God. Help us to have a deeper heart for our families, for our spouses, for our children. That, Lord, we can be what you expect us to be. We'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.